All right, hello everybody. Welcome to episode number 19 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Robert.
And Rudy.
All right, Rudy, you're back. Glad to have you back. Back in the saddle.
Back for the first podcast recording of the new year. Happy New Year, guys.
It's the second, I think.
Oh, yes. Well, my first one for the new year.
Yes, yes.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey. How was your New Year, guys?
It was cool. I went to like a house party. It was like a debate between spending it with my family.
But you already did that for sure.
Which I like to kind of like to mix it up.
Yeah.
Like sometimes stay at home or whatever. Hang out with the family sometimes. Do something new for a change.
Yeah.
I know it was okay. It was cool.
No, I always feel like you perfectly. You could get away with not being with your family on New Year's Eve because, like, you're already with them for Christmas.
Yeah, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah,
so it's like,
okay,
enough family time.
I get to have New Year's away from you guys. Be as bad as I want to be.
Yeah.
And Rob?
I spent it with family this year. Pretty much every New Year's I really don't get to, so.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to just relax. I work so much. I'm just so tired. I wanted to stay with family and chill. So it was fun.
Did you have a nice toast with your mom?
With my sister, my mom, my niece, you know, cousins, and yeah.
That's cool.
No, yeah, definitely. I can't remember the last time I ran New Year with my family. I think I'll do so next year. But this year, I did not spend it with them. I went to a bar, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the most memorable things was, I already told Jason the story, but I will say it again because it's a pretty cool story. So in the guy's bathroom urinal, somebody was dropping in dollar bills, and the whole point was to see, to keep on adding more dollar bills, encourage people to add more dollar bills to the urinal, and see who's going to be desperate enough to pick up this dollar money.
Oh my God.
I went there at one point after, seeing all these dollar bills in there already, and I went in there, and it was all gone. I was like, damn, somebody got that desperate. There's always someone desperate.
Wow.
But yeah,
probably would have grabbed it.
You would have?
I probably would have.
No, I would have been okay. Like, no, it's all right.
No, wash your hands and then be clean of it.
I saw when the first guy put the dollar bill in there and he was telling me about it. It's like, oh, it's just something that he started doing at parties and stuff. And I was like, cool, I think it's a pretty cool idea. I think I should carry on the tradition. And when I go to other bars or whatnot, hopefully, I have the dollar bills to spare. But it's pretty comical, I think.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. Who is desperate?
So on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Quentin Tarantino's latest Django. Unchained. So, Rudy, you were elected to begin the conversation on Django. So here goes.
Right, Django, what number film is this for Quentin Tarantino? All right,
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill,
Death Proof. One or two movies.
One movie.
Death Proof, Inglourious Bastards. So his seventh film.
Seventh film. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
So Django, Quentin Tarantino's seventh film.
What's it about?
Oh.
I mean, I...
Okay, Django.
I'm sorry, I just threw that on you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I need some structure.
Give us the plot.
All right, Django. So we have a slave named Django who's on his way on being traded somewhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As a slave, and he gets freed, and the only thing he wants is find his wife and free her. And things, needless to say, Quentin Tarantino film style, gets pretty violent.
Yeah. Cool.
It's pretty much a vengeance film, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely
a
vengeance film, which, I was kind of a little disappointed with because, I felt like I seen plenty of a vengeance and Kill Bill's whatever. But this definitely ranks the lowest for me out of all his films, I think. What I did enjoy first and foremost is,
which is not a bad thing necessarily, because you have loved like the rest of the stuff you've seen, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you've seen
Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown, it wasn't too memorable for me.
Yeah.
I do want to say the only thing that saved this movie for me or kept my attention was Leonardo DiCaprio. Like,
yeah, he was fantastic.
He stole
the
fucking show for me. Like,
he was so good.
For him, I think I would not have enjoyed the movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he was such a joy to watch, and the scene, the climax, I feel it's a climax. Well, it's definitely a climax film, no? Nah, because like a lot of shit happens after that.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so during the middle of the film, Leonardo DiCaprio has this big scene where he kind of goes crazy, and that was just phenomenal. I can't remember the last time I seen him like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Has he ever played a villain? I think he's played a villain before, right? I'm not positive.
No,
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
But, well, he made a good villain, so.
Yeah. Definitely something new that we get from Leonardo DiCaprio, and he definitely shines. But and I felt like the movie could have ended right after that. You know, after all that falls apart.
Yeah.
Or whatnot, but the movie kept on going, and it just, I was really struggling to like make it to the end, which I had no choice anyway, because I was right in the middle of this packed audience, this packed theater. I was right in the middle, so like I would have been a huge douche if I just got up and left.
Why would you even think about doing that?
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't enjoying the movie. Like, okay. I love Quentin Tarantino's dialogue, but I felt like a lot of dialogue did not work for me in the film. Like, a lot of it, I just went blank and just, like, didn't pay attention to it.
Okay.
Like, I don't think any of you guys feel that way.
Yeah, I was just letting you have your say, and I was gonna go down my list and just rattle off what I thought, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, everything after the fall of Leonardo DiCaprio, I didn't understand any of the banter between him and Jamie Foxx and Quentin Tarantino, who was a character in like the final act of the film, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I did not understand anything that was going on in that. And I really didn't understand why they had to go to this whole ridiculous circus just to get his wife out. It's like, why couldn't they have just... I'm sure one of you guys could explain it to me, but I just didn't. Like, why they have to pile lie after lie just to get his wife out. I mean, couldn't I just...
It was working, though. I mean, I don't want to...
Yeah, it was working.
I think, because he made a great speech about that, though, about why they did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
I still didn't get it, so you guys are going to have to finish.
Well, I mean, we are going to have a spoiler discussion after the outro of the episode, so we'll definitely get into a lot of details.
And Mr. Waltz, you know, Christoph Waltz. You know, because I remember you had mentioned something about, like, you feel like every time you see Christoph Waltz, like, you can't see him anything other than...
The Jew Hunter.
Yeah, the Jew Hunter.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, at first it was kind of that way, but then you definitely warmed up to his character, and it's like, I feel like he made it a different, memorable character than, you know, from the Jew Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Very charismatic. Yeah. You know, he's a very charismatic actor, I guess, to begin with.
Yeah.
But, Leonardo DiCaprio, Christoph Waltz definitely made the film for me. Jimmy Fox just didn't do anything for me.
He kind of played the straight guy, and I thought he did a good job with that. He was definitely a lot better than I expected him to be.
Yeah.
Like going in, that was the most reservations I had was him. Like, yeah, but then, he was decent.
Well, I mean, I will also rank Samuel Jackson before Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that was, he was, I don't know. I didn't enjoy his character. I mean, I know you're supposed to hate him.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was like, performance-wise, it was the least favorite of my movie. Okay. Yeah.
I do think the fact that you are supposed to hate him is a big reason why, like,
he's so
lovable. maybe you would not enjoy him as, like, yeah, just enjoy him.
Well,
I guess.
I mean, because you know, he was so good at playing as somebody you're supposed to hate, like that's why I enjoy him.
Which is, you know, it's always weird to figure out. Like, even when you watch like movies that are supposed to make you feel bad or something, you're like, I didn't really enjoy that.
That's a good point.
But
yeah.
It did what it was supposed to.
It was fucking awesome when you first are introduced to Samuel Jackson's character, and he's like, "What, this nigga? This nigga that's in the big house?" Like, I just love that.
I mean, he was like a character.
Yeah,
you know, he reminded me of like the fucking dad from Boondocks or something. Like
oh
that.
Yeah,
he even looked like him.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought the makeup wasn't that great.
The makeup definitely. Was a huge factor in that, but
any other words
no, I mean, without getting into anything spoilers, like some of the best lines of the movie were between Christoph Waltz and Leonardo DiCaprio, and you know, in that scene in the library, there's some, you know, or in the dining room, there was some lot of good lines between them. But besides that, yeah, it was the movie as a whole was let down for me in dialogue, because, you know, for me, for everybody, Quentin Tarantino films are known for their awesome, awesome dialogue, and
yeah,
this one just didn't have enough of that for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll go next. I'm all making this feel structured. I don't mean to, but yeah, I guess I'll start off with that. I agree with the dialogue sentiments that you have. I don't like, yeah, he's known for that. So when I go into a Tarantino film, I expect good dialogue, and I don't think this movie had it whatsoever. Like, I don't know.
Besides for the meat of the movie, you know, between Christoph.
Well, I kind of wanted to start a positive, but I guess I'll go negative first. Christoph Waltz, I don't see him as anybody else other than Jew Hunter. I do think he's a charismatic person,
yeah.
But I don't know, his acting just doesn't click for me in multiple roles. You know, I mean, he is really good, but I feel like it's just a different version of a Jew Hunter. Obviously, he's missing that brutal side. You know, everybody who's seen Inglourious Basterds, you know, like it's such a memorable character because he's such a charming guy. And then he could just flick the switch and turn on like this really menacing role. And you know, this movie is a much lighter film. He's a much lighter character.
I mean, he's still pretty brutal though, but in a much more subtle way.
Yeah. But I don't know.
At one moment he'll be sweet talking to you, and then bam, and then just go back to sweet talking to you.
Yeah, but like the whole, you know, scenes, you know, early on in the film where he's kind of just dragging Jamie Foxx along with what he's doing, and he'll have these long monologues talking to the law and the town and stuff, kind of explaining what he's there to do and stuff. I liked it, but it kept doing that. Like, it did it like 3 times, and by that time, I was already sick of the monologuing. I was already sick of his character. Maybe I'm being a little harsh. I do like Christoph Waltz, but I don't know. It's just, for me, it's hard to see him as, I don't know. I just don't think he's varied. Like, if he obviously he's become this card in Tarantino's pocket that he's going to use for all of his movies, and I don't necessarily agree with him doing that. But that's
Christoph Waltz featured in a non-Quentin Tarantino film as a villain after Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, Green Hornet.
Green Hornet. Yeah, yeah. Right. How was he in that? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
I mean,
I didn't like the movie.
But like, was his character still like?
He was kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's coming back to me.
Yeah. And then, you know, like going in, the thing I was most excited about with the film is Leonardo DiCaprio's character, and going in, I thought he was going to be this really menacing, like, evil guy. And to me, he wasn't that. Like, he was just a very gullible person who...
He wasn't gullible at all. He was just a southern gentleman.
I felt like he wasn't the one pulling the strings, making the decisions. Which, you know, that's kind of a thing that I do like about the movie, is you go in, like, with these expectations. Like, I went in expecting him to be a certain character. And that's not... To me, that's not what he was. And then you had Samuel L. Jackson, not trying to ruin anything, but he's in the background and he's a much more sinister, a much like worse person than Leonardo DiCaprio was in my eyes. That's one of the things I did like about the film, that he kind of switches your expectations about that. And, you know, just like with Inglourious Basterds, you went in expecting a movie about these guys going around killing Nazis, and you find out it's a movie about revenge, you know, about this Jewish girl trying to get revenge on the death of her family. So I like that he does that. He seems to do that a lot. He did it in Death Proof as well, where you had the first half of the film and then he just switched what the movie was about. What else? The tooth on the wagon, it just bugged me. It was just a stupid element in the movie that just bothered the hell out of me. And
didn't he pretend to be a dentist?
It was appropriate, but I thought, I don't know, it was one of those things. It was like his Western version of the pussy wagon or something. It just didn't work for me.
But wagons in the days like that did have those kind of things. Like, you'd have doctors maybe that it come is in like historically had, like, inaccurate.
I didn't do like
hanging on top of their thing, like little fake. Yeah, I mean,
it's a nitpicky thing, but yeah.
Definitely nitpicky.
No. I mean, I mentioned it because I was watching the movie and I'm like, this fucking tooth thing's stupid. I fucking hate this tooth wobbling around. And
you're just like...
And it's only there to serve a purpose.
And he realized that he was being hypnotized by the
the tooth. His eyes off the fucking tooth.
And then, what else? Let's see. And then, like, I don't know. I just felt the movie didn't have the energy that a Tarantino movie has. It just felt, to me, most of it felt flat. Like, it didn't, to me, there wasn't any forward momentum going on throughout the whole thing.
I felt like there was definitely, the same Quentin Tarantino energy, but I feel like it was energy that was, like, already taken for granted. You know, it's like, oh, I'm Quentin Tarantino. You know, I already have all these successful films, and I just felt a lot of it was just, I don't know. But, I mean, energy was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, it had violence.
No, for me, it wasn't there.
Horses getting their fucking brains shot on. Like, I mean, for me, this is, like, the goriest of Quentin Tarantino.
Well, I mean, it's...
I mean, the way the blood
splatters. It's over the top, everything. You know. Yeah, it's like the Kill Bill Crazy 88 scene, but the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, everything except that final shootout with Jamie Foxx in the house, that was awesome. But everything else, I thought, involving violence, yeah, it was supposed to be over the top, but bugged me. It bugged me how over the top it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was so over the top that it bored me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I mean?
I'm gonna pass it off to Robert. I'm
stunned though. Because I didn't think the violence was that over the top. It was very Kill Bill for me. The violence wise. Uh-huh. So I'm just kind of like confused because I feel like, I don't know, like, so watching it in this, it wasn't any different. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I thought I enjoyed the violence. I mean, I didn't think it was ridiculous. Yeah. The way I feel like I really came in with low expectations from Tarantino. And I do that on purpose with all my favorite directors, because if I go in like super high, like, oh, this is going to be another great Tarantino movie, and you're expecting great Tarantino dialogue.
Yeah, you're just going to shoot it down.
You're going to shoot it down right away. You're going to be looking for the mistakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. It is his less talkative, less stylized movie. Mm-hmm. It is his first, I feel like, I know he touched it a little bit in Kill Bill Volume 2, like Spaghetti Western. Yeah. I feel like it's his first actual full Western movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's the first time he's ever touched that genre. And so I enjoyed it. Yeah. So I liked it a lot. I mean, Christoph Waltz, I know a lot of you guys saw the Nazi, and I enjoyed him. I thought he was, I saw the kindness in him.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with you.
Yeah. I saw when he would, bring Django in the town with riding on the horse, you know, he would act like, whoa, this is my what do you call him, his chauffeur, not chauffeur,
his valet.
Yeah. You know, and all these things. I don't know, I just felt like he was so I think he was very kind to Django. Just he took him under his wing. And as far as Jamie Foxx, I'm never a fan of Jamie Foxx. I think he's like one of the, like, I don't know why this guy wins some, like, won these awards and things.
Did he actually win for Ray?
Yeah, he won for Ray, and everybody loved him in Collateral, which I hated him in Collateral.
His acting's not very good. Yeah. I do love that movie, but he's not the greatest.
So he's not a great actor, but I loved him in this movie because he was a lot more subtle than he is in his other movies, and that's why I think Jamie Foxx should take that into his other roles. Because Django was a subtle character. I mean,
he played it. Yeah. He played it down. Like,
he played it down. You know, like, when he would talk, he would talk under his breath. But he would say like the craziest things to people. You know, I mean, there were times where he spoke up. You know, but I loved more the banter between Jamie Foxx and Leonardo DiCaprio's character than Waltz and Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Which scene was that?
Most of the stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that he would say. They would just look at him. He would kind of make snarky remarks.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty much holding his own, which is something I love about the movie is. Like, once he finally meets this character, he feels the need to kind of empower the people around him by showing that, like, a black guy could be in this position, could hold this power.
Yeah.
And hoping that's going to rub off on those around him and stuff. I thought it was pretty awesome that he went with that.
Yeah. No, you definitely refreshed my memory about that dog scene where Jamie Foxx speaks up for this black slave about to get fucking... shit,
but he doesn't really speak up. He just lets it be.
But I love the way he distracted it though. He kind of went like, because Christoph Waltz was the guy who said, I'll buy him off of you or something. And then, but I love it because but then Jamie Foxx is like, no, we don't want him. I love that part. I don't know why I love that scene so much. He's like, he's not worth anything. So
I thought he was just playing it up there, for the other slaves that were there.
But
he could be the one to make just a decision like that and not think twice about it.
I took it more as the fact that he didn't care. Like, yeah, you know, he saw the slaves, but he didn't care. He was there for one reason. He was there to get his girl. He didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's going to be, you know, he was an asshole to the slaves. He was, like, talking shit to them. He didn't care. He wanted the woman he loved, you know. That's all he wanted. That's all he was there for.
Yeah.
So, I think he was being like that. Yeah, he was being this fake person. Even Christoph Waltz says you have to pretend to be this person. And even though you don't want to be, you hate that kind of person. That's the way you got to be, you know. And in a way, he was doing it, you know, not for her, you know. He's like, well, this is what I have to do to get my girl. I have to, you know, watch this. Well, I don't want to give it away. You know, watch some, like, you know, be an asshole and do, like, watch Leonardo DiCaprio be a dick to his slaves, you know, just because I want to get the woman I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did love how they stared down each other during that whole thing.
Yeah. I loved it too. I loved the way, I don't remember half the remarks. I saw this like a week ago, but just the little smart ass comments that he said to the people, everybody around him when he started hanging around with like the DiCaprio's crew and everything. Like, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I agree with you though, as far as I was reading an article that Roger Ebert actually posted. I don't know if he wrote it, but he posted it on his Facebook about how when you think movies should end.
Yeah.
And I think Tarantino can be a little bit of a scatterbrain as far as that, or all over the place. Like, his mind doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes his dialogue so great sometimes, because his mind just keeps racing about like all these things that people can, these crazy like moments and scenes. But then there are times where like, yeah, you need to stop yourself.
Yeah,
so I agree. Like, there was like this whole pointless thing towards the end where I was like, wait, the ending could have happened in this perfectly awesome scene. Why is this still happening? Because it's the same thing all over again, just a little more subtle.
Yeah. So, and it kind of like sped up. It's just done.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes from like action scene to action scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie definitely ended.
And definitely, if it would have ended at that point, then we wouldn't have had to see the horrible fucking Tarantino cameo, which was just.
Yeah. And why did he?
I mean, he's kind of an ugly guy. He's just hard to look at.
You know what I thought when I saw that too? Oh, here we go, an M. Night Shyamalan moment. Like, yeah, I don't know.
He can't help. He can't help but indulge. You know, and like, and going to Kill Bill, like, he initially was going to play Pai Mei in Kill Bill Volume 2, but something happened where it didn't come together.
Well, that's good.
and imagine how much. I mean, Pai Mei was awesome. Like, what would have happened if he would have had his way?
Oh, you know? That would have been like a stop in the momentum of the movie. It would have just like halted everything. You would have been like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tarantino did make a cameo, right, in Kill Bill? Does he make a cameo in most of his films?
In some. I know he was in Pulp Fiction. Some.
He did Pulp Fiction. He was in Death Proof.
Jackie Brown, I don't remember. Nobody remembers Jackie Brown.
I still, that's the only one I haven't seen of his.
I think that's my least favorite of his.
And he's in Reservoir Dogs.
But
he wasn't in Inglourious Basterds, I don't believe.
I don't think he was.
He wasn't in that.
Curious.
I mean, it's not necessarily his thing. I mean, sometimes I do like him. I thought he was great in Pulp Fiction. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
I thought he was terrible in Death Proof. Like him, you know. Well, that was just him indulging and having the fucking people sit in a restaurant and play all the music that he loves. Speaking of music, the music fucking terrible in this movie. The music was horrible.
Is it Western music? Oh, you know, the hip hop music? Are you talking about?
Well, no, yeah, even, I mean, I understand, like, that's it's a spaghetti Western, you know. I didn't like the opening Django song and all the rap music that he used. I thought it was probably a cool idea to go something like against the grain, but I did not like the music whatsoever. And I didn't like a lot of the filmmaking, you know, like those. There's like those cheesy shots where they always do like a quick zoom. He kept doing that, and I hated it every time it happened.
I like that. I like that. It was very retro, very 70s. Like,
yeah, I mean, I understand what it is. Though.
That's, he loves to mix up the genres. He loves to mix up stuff from the decades. Yeah. And, you know.
And now there's something. I mean, I love all his movies aside from this one. And I mean, and as much as I love his films, I feel. Like, to me, his filmography, in a way, is a little bit underwhelming, because now he's gotten into this phase where he's just doing genre filmmaking, you know? He did it with Death Proof. He did it with Kill Bill. Inglourious Basterds was just amazing, like, and I don't know what's... I'm sure it has stuff in common with other films, but I don't know. So I think he kind of got away from that there. But it's kind of disappointing that he's just, like, this... content with staying in genre filmmaking.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, I mean, this is the first time where it's like, it's either you love it or you hate him. Because, I mean, what's the general reaction to this film?
Extremely positive.
Okay.
You know, it's ending up at number one in multiple.
Like, I mean, but there isn't a good amount of people, you know, like, not liking it.
I don't think so. No.
I mean, when I heard Spike Lee not liking it because they said nigger too much. I mean,
as far as I know, did Spike Lee even fucking see the movie?
No, he says he's not going to see it because as far as he knows, slaves weren't...
Yeah, he just feels like it's a really racist film.
And spaghetti westerns or something? Yeah. I don't know.
But to me, I mean, like, that whole Spike Lee thing was, like, just Spike Lee trying to be relevant again.
There's plenty of directors who seem to be doing that crap nowadays, where they want to bad talk. Even Samuel Jackson's doing it, just bad talking other movies. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like, he bad talked Lincoln. He hated the movie to Lincoln.
Yeah, like, we didn't need to see the death or whatever, the assassination or whatnot. Mm.
But you don't see it actually, right? So yeah.
Did you see it again?
I haven't. Oh. It's online.
I don't
want to keep ranting about Tarantino, but I mean, I am.
How do you say I want a genre? I want a filmmaker who's pretty much only makes movies who makes genre filmmaking to stop making genre filmmaking. Hmm. It's like you're asking. You want a filmmaker who's known for doing this thing to stop doing that thing. Like, well, I understand though, because you can get tired.
To me, it's bothering because the thing he's doing is ripping other things off.
Like, yeah, he's been doing that since Kill Bill.
He's been doing it since forever. Yeah. Like, he did it with...
If you do it well, you know...
No. See, okay. I mean, I understand that. Like I said, I loved all his movies, aside from Django Unchained.
Yeah.
But he's the Kanye West of fucking movie making. He's the Kanye West. The reason why Tarantino's good and why Kanye West is good is because they have good sensibilities. Kanye West hears a piece of music. He knows how to make it his own. He knows how to make a good beat out of it. That's all Tarantino's doing, is taking all these good sensibilities and all these good pieces of movies that he loves, because he's clearly a enormously passionate guy when it comes to movies, and he knows so much about movies.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's ripping people off. At the end of the day, he's a hack, just like at the end of the day, Kanye West is a hack.
I don't think it's like...
You're being
really
harsh.
No,
I don't think it's like ripping off. Like, I agree. No.
I mean, the people who don't like Tarantino would say that about him. The people who like him would say, oh, he's just paying respects, you know? He's just paying homage to what came before him. And not only is he doing that, but he's also mixing it together in a way and making it his own ultimately. Even though he has taken from all these things, he is making it his own,
even though, yeah, he's like grabbing stuff that from other, like, you know, but
which I agree with.
I don't think he's copying.
I love his filmography. I'm just presenting this point where he could be looked at a certain way in a very negative light. Most people don't look at him that way, but it could be said.
But are you just basing your passionate argument on Django?
I'm talking about his filmography in general.
Well,
and especially where it seems to be going nowadays.
No, I'm just confused because, like, you really enjoyed his filmography, but yet you don't like how he's ripping off.
He is still taking pieces. I did not say I don't.
I don't think he takes pieces. He shows you his inspiration, like, from like what he loved so much growing up watching.
I mean,
movies.
Obviously, I can't base this on much because I don't have like this giant knowledge of filmography. Yeah. But there is, this was hearsay, but I trust the person who once told me this. In Pulp Fiction, there's a scene where Bruce Willis goes back to the house after all that crazy shit goes down. And he has a conversation with his girlfriend about blueberry pancakes, right? Hmm. I heard that conversation was, like, taken from another movie. That, it, like, almost word for word. I mean, not, like, word for word, but just the whole idea of that conversation involving blueberry pancakes was taken from somewhere else. Like, I don't think any of us have, like, a broad knowledge of the history of film and all these weird, you know, eccentric, weird, like, not eccentric, just movies we've never seen. And... Yeah, I mean, I can't say this for sure because I don't have that knowledge in my head, but I'm pretty sure he fucking rips off a lot of people.
I mean, well, you know, be that as it may, it's like Quentin Tarantino, he still has a solid filmography. You know, he does his job well. Django, unfortunately, is, you know, not a good example of that. Mm. I think you guys should
rewatch Jackie Brown and then... then.
I've never seen Jackie Brown, so I mean, I just heard it's his weakest film, so yeah. I just kind of avoided it because of that.
Well, aside from that, I mean, it seems like, are we on the same page? Like, this is Quentin Tarantino's weakest film?
I don't agree. I think Jackie Brown is, but I mean, after okay, that, it's yeah, after that, it's probably this. Yes.
Okay, cool. I mean, do you think Death Proof is better than Death Proof?
Oh no, that's right. I totally forgot about Death Proof. You're right.
Hate,
no, Cray.
You hate Death Proof?
No. I didn't. I thought it was
Death Proof has
its moments.
Enormous issues.
Yeah. Really? No, you're right.
I mean, not enormous issues, but
it'd definitely be it's Jackie long... Brown at least, then Death Proof, then Django probably. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, I don't agree with any of you guys.
Real quick, I want to know.
I mean, Tarantino thinks Death Proof is his worst movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out and said that.
He rushed that though. I mean, didn't he just do it for Robert Rodriguez?
Well, no. He said it's his worst movie, but if this is my worst movie, I don't like. That's not that bad, you know.
Okay, so what didn't you guys like about it? Real quick.
What?
Death Proof.
I mean, Death Proof, but there's too much fucking dialogue. There's way too much dialogue.
Yeah, there was.
He indulged. He hung out with these girls for 40 fucking minutes, and then he rewound it and did it again. Like, that's all he did.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
The reason why I think it worked for me is because so you really get involved with these girls, their characters.
I never really cared. Am I going to be honest?
We need to eventually get this back to Django and Jane. I know this is entirely my fault.
It's Quentin Tarantino. We're talking about, you know, we're bashing.
It's our Tarantino episode now. Just be
yeah. We're talking about how bad the dialogue is in general in Django. And
I don't think it's bad. It's just not memorable to me. Whatever. Like, all his movies don't have to be all this stylistic dialogue. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, but it definitely shouldn't bore you either or take you out of the film, because it did that to me plenty of times.
I don't know. Just a lot about the movie just rubbed me the wrong way. I knew in the beginning I felt like I was nitpicking, and maybe I am. I would be interested in seeing the movie again and seeing if I see it in a different light. I mean, because there is a lot of things, like the empowerment thing. I really enjoyed. I like that he went against expectations with Leo's character, even though in a way that's disappointing. And I'm going to talk about another of his movies again. Like we were just talking about Death Proof, but the whole second half of that movie becomes about female empowerment, which was awesome. But I would have loved it if it was just a movie about Kurt Russell murdering the shit out of girls, you know. And as much as I like in Django Unchained that he didn't go that route with Leo's character, and he introduces another character who's kind of pulling the strings. It also would have been cool if just Leo was hamming it up the whole time and just being this really memorable villain. And I don't think that's what he is in the movie.
I
think he has one strong scene, one really strong scene when he snaps. And what's his motivation in that scene? $12,000. That's it.
What is motivation? I've seen. He didn't like the fact that these people came into the house. He treated them with all these.
Yeah, which goes against. Yeah, which goes against the point that you said. Hey, what? Let's.
No, I did. I do agree.
Just fucking
with you.
Offer the money for the girl.
No, I do agree with you. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Because I did see myself thinking, like, really? That's it? Like, oh my god! I thought they would for sure like kill them. Like,
yeah, I thought he was gonna go crazy.
But then I was kind of like,
but ultimately he just wanted the money.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, he still wanted to do a transaction, but like, yeah, he got all crazy because, you know, they were fucking lying to him after he did all this hospitality for them. But mm-hmm. like, he still carried that, you know, into the, you know, the final finalizing the transaction.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, so like,
I do want to get into more.
When he showed his true fang, yeah, that little amount of time, he definitely shined.
I guess I just wish he was a little bit more over the top. Yeah. And he wasn't.
I think he was the perfect kind. He was, I don't know, like when he was sitting, like the I don't know, when they first meet him and there's that brawl going on.
Yeah.
Like the way he's just sitting there watching it and just, I thought it was creepy and very conniving and just something sinister.
Maybe a part of it was in my expectations. Like I said, I was most excited to see him in this role of playing this villain when the trailer, like, because the trailers just didn't do it for me. I mean, it's Tarantino, you didn't go see it anyway. But Leo was the reason why I was excited about the movie.
I mean, for good reason. But yeah, like Robert was saying, you had these really subtle instances mm-hmm. where DiCaprio's character, like he'll definitely give you sneak peeks that, like, you know, he could be pretty vicious if provoked. But because, you know, he's such a confident and, you know, southern gentleman, that like he doesn't feel like he needs to take it that far.
Yeah.
If he could control it.
Yeah,
because he usually does control, you know, different little smaller, you know, scenes.
Yeah, I guess it's. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's probably just a fault of my own of having certain expectations.
You wanted him to be more of a crazier, like more of a villain, more that it's just not about the money.
And it's kind
of
weird because I'm like conflicted because to me, Tarantino is like, he's not doing what I expected him to do. And that should be a good thing. Like, he's surprising me. And he did surprise me with that. But there's also a part of me is like, oh, I kind of wish it was this way too, you know? That's why I brought up Death Proof. Like, I like where he went with it, but I kind of wish he went and done another way too.
Well, I guess to summarize, like, just my feelings on the film.
Yeah.
I feel like Django's character didn't work for me because I feel like there's a lot more better lines given to, you know, DiCaprio, Waltz, and even Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
And he, he just couldn't shine as bright because, just his whole story wasn't that strong enough for me. I was more interested in these other characters.
I mean, before the title character. How was it not strong enough?
I think he was the hero hiding kind of like in the background a little bit while these colorful characters like shined outside of him. But I think that was done on purpose, you know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so Jamie Foxx, he really gets to shine once you get rid of the two most charismatic characters. But like even
because he's on his own. It's up it's, in a way it's like up to him. Like now,
like even then, I just didn't care. I mean, the whole shootout.
I think as soon as he started dressing himself, he gets to shine like throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah, he shined in that blue suit because it just it was supposed to be.
He looked really good throughout the whole movie.
I love that one of them save girls. She's like, "What? You're a free man, and you decided to dress like that?"
So, what do you guys think of Jamie Foxx's gigantic penis?
Oh.
Was there a penis shot in there?
Yeah, there was.
I totally didn't.
There was balls. There was the balls and everything.
Where was that at? Well,
the penis shot.
Yeah, I haven't seen that shot. What are you talking about?
Do you remember? So you don't remember?
No, I must have blocked it off. I must have blocked it off from my memory.
Think it was, do you think they used a prosthetic for that? Or do you think it was actually his?
What scene was it?
He was hanging upside down.
Oh, I played.
And at first it was an overhead shot and like his balls.
I guess I hope for his sake that they did not use prosthetics. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if you have to use prosthetic, then, that's kind of...
I mean, Dirk Diggler did it.
Huh? So was it?
Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
Well,
Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights.
I don't remember a penis shot in that movie.
Are you serious? You don't remember?
He, like, pulls it out.
In your face.
I guess... Yeah. I mean, it's part of that movie, you know?
Dirk Diggler. Well, no... I guess I haven't seen that movie all the way.
Uh-huh.
I remember.
What does he call himself at the end? You're the star. You're the motherfucking star or something, right? Yeah. I don't know what he says. And then he busts it out.
And one other like little side thing. There was a guy in Django Unchained. And I'm not sure what the actor's name is, but looking at him, I recognize him. And I'm sure you guys seen Stephen King's It in the first part of it. I mean, there's a one... kid in a group of friends who always needs an inhaler when he grows up in the second part. It's the same. There's an actor playing that kid as the adult version, and he's in Django Unchained, and I just recognized him. He's Leonardo DiCaprio's right hand man.
Yeah, his lawyer,
and the entire fucking movie he has nothing to say. He's just sitting there like throughout the whole movie.
The gun. Is he the one with the big gun and like?
No, he's the one. He's blonde. Yeah, he has like a cool looking facial hair.
Yeah,
he says nothing in the whole movie. He's like sitting at the dinner table during this pivotal scene, and he's just sitting there the whole time.
It's the same thing with the guy, the bodyguard. I mean, the guy with the shotgun. Who
I don't know.
Who's the same actor who played somebody else in the beginning of the movie? Center. Did you guys notice that?
No.
In the beginning, I'm like, there was a guy that killed, and I believe he's Dexter's dad.
Yeah, he's Dexter's dad.
And then later on in the movie, Dexter's dad shows up. I'm like, didn't he just blow this guy's head off in the beginning of the movie? But then I was confused. Was it the same actor?
There was even a scene where like Django looks at him, and he kind of goes like, gives him kind of like a weird look, like so it didn't even make sense.
Like, maybe that was like a side thing that
maybe it was like a twin brother and that was never told like a story behind that.
Yeah, I guess it just seems like when you're in the acting business and you get involved in a Quentin Tarantino film, it just seems like a big party. You know, it's like you know what I mean. So like it just becomes more of a fun gimmicky thing to be a part of a Quentin Tarantino film, even if you had nothing to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just no. This guy, maybe he's grown from that, but he was fucking terrible in that It movie. And I just saw him like, I hope he doesn't say much.
I remember
he's
not a very good actor. That It movie, too. It was the worst death ever.
Yeah. He was so bad in that movie.
He was the worst.
It was one of those things that just bugged me. I'm like, why is this guy even here? Like, he's not doing anything. And another thing, there's this whole side plot. I mean, I understand a lot was cut from the movie, supposedly. There's this whole side group of, I don't know, bandits or something. And one of them is a female who carries around an axe and has a red... it's fucking Zoe Bell.
Yeah.
And, like, he, like, goes out of his way to, like, show her a few times. And then nothing happens with that group. Yeah. I understand it was probably cut from the movie, but then why even have it in the movie to begin with if it went nowhere? The only where it goes is towards the end of the movie, Jamie Foxx comes and fucking blows them all away. And you know what I mean? I know. Well, I don't even know who these characters are, let alone, like, it just randomly happened. He randomly goes to this hut and murders all these people. And, like, Zoe Bell, you don't even see her get killed. Like, it's just off screen.
I definitely thought the way they were focusing on her and just like how.
Yeah, I like those things. I thought something like really cool. It's a woman
bandit or something. Yeah. I think that's what they wanted to do.
But he went out of his way.
That character, yeah. See what that was all about. But yeah.
He went out of his way to give her like a visual style.
Yeah.
And then it just nothing happened.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. There's a lot of little things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just him, you know, the way he works. I think it's just his mind. His mind is just the way he works. He was
probably, erratic.
Yeah, he exactly. Yeah, he was just probably on setting.
I've seen him on talk shows, and he's fucking like, he looks like he's coked out of his mind.
He was like, oh, you know what? Let's put a bandana on you. Let's go do this really cool shot. And,
definitely.
Yeah, that's going to look so cool, you know, because you're going to look badass. Yeah. And he just puts it in a movie, and that's it. That's how he is. He talks about, how many times has he talked about, like, the whole bloody affair for Kill Bill? Oh, yeah, I'm going to re-release it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And he never does it. And he said, like,
he just gets really excited.
Exactly. And then when Kill Bill came out, he says, oh, in 10 years, I'm totally going to make Kill Bill 3, like, you know, with the daughters, a revenge movie. And that was like, that was 10 years ago, and it's still nothing. And now he's saying it's probably not, like, oh, I don't know. And he just, that's how he is.
Oh, whatever. He's Quentin Tarantino.
Exactly.
You know, he made all.
No. I mean, this is
a legend. I think you're watching a guy with ADD put stuff together, and I think it works well.
That's the best way to describe Django. Yeah. Is Quentin Tarantino as worst whatever?
I think that's a bit too much.
That'd be a little too harsh on the movie.
I think for you guys, he's just been lucky for you, like, and then now you finally
he's been
get
really good.
You finally get to see that ADD. I've seen that a long time ago. I've noticed that.
And then
that's why I kind of am more apologetic towards this film, because this is I know how he is. So, like, yeah. I think maybe you guys are finally seeing the way how erratic he really can be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you definitely enlighten us a little bit more.
I just thought the level of filmmaking wasn't on par with the other things he's done.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Inglourious was such a masterpiece. I mean, how can you top that? Yeah. Inglourious was a masterpiece. Like, I mean, every single scene in that movie was beautiful, and the dialogue was amazing. So, I mean, it's hard to try to top something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, if had Leonardo DiCaprio not been in this film, the character that he was, this film would have just been completely awful for me.
Disagree with that.
Yeah, but I disagree with that 100%.
That's my opinion, so, you know, I'm allowed to have it.
No, you're out.
So what's, is it rating time?
I guess so, yeah.
Anything else to be said?
No, I mean, I would still like someone to explain the whole thing about training his wife. Oh, when you get
we're going to do spoiler discussion at the end.
Yeah, so we can do that. Let's talk about the wife a little bit. Like she is the center of this movie. She's the whole
wife. Well, I mean,
she cries a lot. She screams and cries.
Did that bug you? Like, whenever someone would like
touch her
at all, she'll fucking wail. I'm like, why is she yelling? Why is she so loud?
I agree. She was
and someone explained that to me. Like, look what happened to her. She got whipped. I understand that.
Yeah, she's traumatized.
She fucking yells loud every time something happens.
Well, I mean,
I thought it was irritating.
I mean, but wouldn't you be like that jumpy and that scared of like practically?
Probably. Yeah.
Your whole life you've been beaten.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just was something that bugged me.
I
wasn't alone. So.
well, visually. Yeah, I mean, she definitely helped. It was like, why somebody would risk their life and limb to go rescue her? I mean, like, you know, if she didn't have at least that quality, then it doesn't really work. But you know, at least she had that qualities, right?
Yeah.
You know, like this whole, like, you felt sorry for her. She looked.
Well, I mean, I just think that story thread or whatever, just you're going to be invested in it. Like, to me, that's just something easy to get on board with. It's a guy and he fucking lost his wife. Like, and he wants her back. Like, it's as simple as that, and I'm already going to be on board.
Yeah, and that was a cool little gimmick that they did, you know, her speaking German and whatnot.
Oh, and that scene where Christoph Waltz tells that story, that German folk story. Yeah, Brunhilde, about Brunhilde and stuff, and how, like, Jamie Foxx is like, oh, tell me the story. He's like, you know, he gets all like a little kid, wide-eyed. And then Christoph Waltz like, do you want me to tell you the story? He's like, yeah. I love that scene. I don't know why I love that moment.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I do wish they hung out a little bit more. Like, cause
Christoph Waltz?
Yeah, like, I
hung out the whole movie. What are you talking about?
Well, no, I mean, like, just more, like, going on, you know, the whole leg of
enjoyable together,
the whole leg of the journey where they're like
bounty hunting,
bounty hunters. But then there's that one part where he's like, oh, you know, I want you to help me kill these three guys. A scene later, the fucking guys are all dead. Like, there was no build up to them finding those guys.
I think because Christoph Waltz wanted to see how damaged maybe his character Jamie Foxx really was, and how he really became compassionate towards him. Mm-hmm. And because remember, he says, like, you know what, I wasn't thinking of this, but if you help me bounty hunt, I'll help you find your wife, you know. I don't want you to do this by yourself. And I think that was what that purpose of that was for, you know, like, you know.
Okay, so Christoph Waltz finding Jamie Foxx. I was sketchy on that too. I just didn't pick up on it. Hear them. So he found Jamie Foxx to find the three guys.
Yeah,
because he got.
I think the way
yeah, because he Jamie was Foxx at the plantation, so he knew how they looked.
Plantation that those three guys were at. So I guess record keeping. That's how he found Jamie Foxx.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
So final thoughts.
I really enjoyed it.
I know you summarized. But
I Leonardo DiCaprio movie made for me. Done.
I was like, I know you guys got bored at times. I honestly was never bored at the movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
I disagree. I was never bored.
Oh, didn't you say you were bored?
I wasn't bored.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you say you were bored earlier.
I was never bored.
I love 4 out of 5 for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Okay.
Okay.
Are you surprised by that comment?
No. You backed your argument, so I'm pretty good. And you know, that's your opinion. You know.
I
go watch Jackie Brown. That's all.
I dislike the energy. I mean, I felt that I felt it lacked energy. I wasn't a big fan of the score. I wasn't a big fan of some of the casting, like Christoph Waltz. But, you know, there was positives, like I said. The expectations, the empowerment. I initially gave it a 2 out of 5. I'm going to raise it up to a 2.5 out of 5.
Hey. I like how calm you are. I like how calm you was.
I'm trying to speak coherently for once. Yeah.
Robert, you said it perfectly, where this movie is a shining example of Tarantino's ADD problem.
No, but it's still fun. That's what I think. This was, to me, I think, just his fun movie. Like, his fun, I don't know, that's the way I saw it.
Yeah, like when word of mouth, like, after everybody was seeing it, people were saying, like, it's just a romp-roaring time at the movies or whatever.
It's not meant to be anything but fun, and that's what I took out of it, so that's why I gave it 4 out of 5.
I guess it wasn't as fun for me. I mean, the whole blowout scene at the end in the house, like I love when he said to the two black slaves, like, all right, say goodbye to Miss. Goodbye, Miss. And she's just getting blasted away.
Yeah, she just flew. That was awesome. Thank
you. But anyways, so I'm sticking with that. It's like, this is Tarantino's fun, over-the-top ADD. showcase, it could be as fun for all it wants to be, but the only thing that worked for me is Leonardo DiCaprio, so based on that, I will give it a 3. I'll give it a 3.
Cool. Alrighty, so moving on to what we watched. We recorded an episode 2 days ago. I haven't had the time to watch anything since then. So... anybody else watch anything? I believe Robert watched a movie.
Yeah, thanks. I stumbled upon this last night. Do not laugh at me. I was bored and I was eating dinner and it was in my computer, my laptop.
I wonder how it got there.
I don't know. I was downloading acquiring so many movies. Awesome. Pitch Perfect was on my laptop. And I'm like, what is this? At first, I forgot what it was. So I clicked it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's this stupid movie about a cappella. And I'm eating it. And I'm watching it. And I just didn't want to stop because I was eating my food. I didn't want to, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I got into the movie. It's a stupid movie. It's ridiculous. But it, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't great. I just... That's the last thing I
saw.
What
is Pitch Perfect about? I mean, the only thing I know about it is my little sister saw it and she was talking about it and she got it for Christmas on DVD. Like,
it's a stupid movie about this girl who goes to college. She joins like this acapella group and it's competitions. It's sort of like the Bring It On of, like, of acapella. Yeah, it's so stupid. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm not even going to...
I mean, but was it good?
No, it was all right. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, no, it wasn't great.
Oh, I mean, I haven't seen... Oh, I'm sorry, Robert. Did you see anything else besides Pitch Perfect?
No, that's the last thing, because the night before we did the podcast for,
All right. I didn't see too much, but I did enjoy a couple of trailers before Django.
I'm going to talk about the trailers.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've really seen. When I entered the theater, as I was walking up the stairs to find my seat, like, I just stopped because the trailer for Oblivion came on. And I remember seeing the poster for it, like something about Earth's memory is worth saving or some shit like that. It just was really intriguing. I mean, I really liked how you have the mountains, well, the Empire State Building or some sort of skyscraper that's like been, nature took it over and it's like now it's a waterfall. I just thought it was a really intriguing look. So I just stopped going up the stairs and just like stood there in the middle of the house just watching
Like, who's this weirdo standing there?
Whatever. It caught my attention. I don't give a shit what other people thought. Do you guys remember that trailer?
I mean, I had seen it on the internet and I stopped it midway through as soon as other human characters showed up. I'm like, okay, I don't want to see anymore. And then I saw the trailer. In front of a movie at a movie theater.
So based on the poster, I was really excited, but then after I was seeing the trailer, like, I don't know, it just didn't do too much for me.
I can't wait for that score. That's what I'm excited. M83.
M83?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They had the Midnight City song.
Yeah.
Right? That's
cool. I think it has promise, but I'm not sure.
I'm excited.
But the movie that I really got excited about was Aftershock. Eli Roth's Aftershock.
Uh-huh. What?
It's about a group of American guys who go to Brazil and just have fun or whatever. Then they're in the middle of an earthquake. They survive the earthquake, but everything is damaged and like prisoners escape. Everyone's going crazy. So it's like it's them trying to survive just mass chaos.
Wow.
It's sort of like I guess think of it like Night of Living Dead, but like everyone's not dead. Everyone's just fucking crazy and taking advantage of this traumatic situation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So which I think makes for a really intriguing plot. You know.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I thought it looked good. It just I guess it played like the festival circuit.
Yeah.
And I've heard so many bad things about it. Not really? The Brewster bubble, but I've heard a lot of bad things about it.
Well, I was impressed because I don't expect too much from Eli Roth anymore.
I don't think he directed the movie.
I think he produced it, right?
I think he produced it. It's from Eli Roth.
Oh, okay.
If it was Eli Roth, then I would be excited.
I hate when you do that. From Eli Roth. Yeah. It just says from the guy.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro's been making a career out of it.
Yeah, it's getting me so angry.
Well, I respect Quentin Tarantino. Guillermo.
They do that with Quentin Tarantino, too.
Yeah, a bunch of like Asian-inspired
kung fu movies. Man with the Iron Fist.
I mean, I definitely respect Guillermo and Tarantino more than I do Roth. I mean, what Roth is known for, just cabin fever. And did he do Hostel too?
A lot of people like the Hostel films.
I'm not a big fan of Hostel.
I didn't see part two. I heard both of them are good.
Part two is. I didn't enjoy part two. I like part one.
Yeah, I mean, that's two strong horror movies. I really enjoyed Cabin Fever.
I loved Cabin Fever. Yeah.
So.
Well,
I mean, whenever he's going to come out with something, I'm definitely on board.
Well, I mean, judging by the premise and how the trailer looked, like, I was impressed. Like, oh, cool, this is from Eli Roth. All right, well,
then yeah, I did think the trailer looked sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had all this other baggage going in, like, having all these negative things being said about it. So hopefully, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember any other trailer. Something I sort of did start watching that I'd never seen before, old movie. Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Lee Cook.
She's All That?
Yeah. You know, I was changing the channels the other night. That was on. Is that what you were watching?
No, I just got home and I just wanted to eat something before I went to bed. And my brothers were watching TV and that was on. So I never seen the movie before.
I used to have this like huge celebrity crush on Rachel Lee Cook. Oh my God. I used to have like.
What happened to her?
I think she is a mom now and just.
I think she died.
No, she didn't die. You really upset Rudy there.
You look shocked.
Oh, no, and didn't she voice some Tifa or something in Advent Children? Rachel Lee Cook? No? No?
I don't recall looking at the cast list for that.
Did you see Advent Children? Final Fantasy?
It was a long time ago, but I think sure. Parts of it, I think.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure Rachel Lee. Anyways, it was all right. I mean, just
yeah. It wasn't one of mine. I was more of a can't hardly wait guy.
I like that.
That was my movie.
That was my movie when I was in high school too. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I never seen She's All That. But yeah. Like, you know,
Matthew Lillard's in it too, right?
Yeah.
And She's All That.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Like she's in like isn't it like the boyfriend or something?
No, I think he plays like some. I forgot some dude that I guess
was he in the beginning.
This famous who's in the movie,
like right.
I think he plays like a famous actor that's in the movie there. Mm-hmm. Or, okay. Or I don't know. Something.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Why I didn't see him.
I've seen him like forever. I don't remember. Act.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, yeah, that movie just bad dialogue, bad acting. Freddie Prinze Jr. kind of sucks. Oh, and then
really, I didn't.
Kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. That's a surprise.
Wasn't Paul Walker? He's in that film too, right? I mean, he looked a little different.
Fast and Furious?
Yeah. I mean, he looked a little different because I guess.
What's that movie you loved from a few years back? Paul Walker?
Running Scared. I love that movie.
Did you like Running Scared?
I saw Running Scared at the theaters. Isn't that based off a book or something?
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of strange, the turns that it took. I was just kind of like, what?
It was definitely like an insane movie.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It worked for me.
Yeah.
I want to see that again, actually.
Good Anything job. Else you saw?
No. Definitely did not watch anything.
I've been playing a video game. I know it's totally non-related, but I just want to share it with you guys because it was cool. I just started playing it today.
Video games have good entertainment value.
Yeah. But it's called Tokyo Jungle. It's freaking cool. The concept is you can play as all these like different animals. You start off with a deer and a Pomeranian. You guys know what a Pomeranian is?
What is a Pomeranian?
You know that dog that Paris Hilton used to carry around?
Yeah, okay.
That's a Pomeranian.
Another Chihuahua.
No. It had a bunch of hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Did she carry around Chihuahuas? Well,
she did carry around.
It's like those animals that have fur that women carry around. And it's not a Chihuahua.
That shoots out like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Those are Pomeranians. So you start off with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the concept of the game is it's Tokyo Jungle. So it's the world after humans have vanished from it. And now, you know, nature has taken its course and taken over the city of Tokyo. So you play as an animal, and you start off, you're just trying to survive. So there's different, you have to hunt, and you have to, like, take over different areas. So, like, there's some creatures that are, you know, obviously predators. You would have to sneak up on them or fight them, but you could die really easily. So it's kind of like how long you could survive. But it's really cool because there's all these different creatures, and you have to find four places on a map to mark the map. So that you like kind of control that area, like that's your territory. So there's a place you could go, and this place is once you've marked your territory, you have to find a mate because you know you're trying to survive, and an animal could only live for so long. So you have to find a mate so that you can have sex with the animal, and then give birth to other animals, and then they're like second generation, third generation, and so
and
forth.
And you can play at those later generations?
Yeah, you pretty much take over, like, once you mate, you take over as, like, the first...
The offspring?
Yeah, the offspring. I mean, there's usually, like, three offspring, and then, you know, if you get attacked by animals and you die, you basically just take over the next animal in line until you're all dead. Dude. It's freaking sweet.
Yeah.
And like it's really funny like when you're mating. I mean right now it's a Pomeranian and there's like there's like so many different animals in the game and I'll get into that in a second, but the way they have sex, which like a dog have sex, you pretty much you like pretty much sniff their booty a little bit and then you get on them and then like as soon as you get on them, the game fades out. Obviously it's not going to show the dogs having sex.
It's kind of Geographic shows that shit.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's like cute. It's a Japanese game. It's really freaking Japanese. But like there's all these creatures and I actually bought a pack with all the different creatures and there's like pandas and giraffes and crocodiles.
You sound so excited.
But then there's like weird, like there's like two weird ones I can't wait to, I mean, not really weird. You could play as a caveman.
Really?
And you could play as just a businessman, just a guy in a suit. Like, it's just weird.
But then, the same mating rituals.
I mean,
you have to find the cave woman. Or
I'm like sure it's
woman?
Like going
to
be. I'm sure it's going to be distinct as far as the process of them having sex. You know what I mean? BTS. That's what I'm saying. Like, can you mix races and have, like,
oh my god.
But it's a cool game. I only played it 45 minutes, but I already know I'm going to be addicted to it. I know this is totally non-movie related, but it's just
another
I love
trailer.
It.
Okay, so when I was watching I've seen that they started showing the trailer for fucking scary movie, whatever.
Oh my god, yes.
No. But I thought I was watching the trailer for a haunted house, but then I realized the scary movie is like, okay, so there's two.
I thought it was like another paranormal film.
It's a parody of, you know, paranormal films, and I think in scary movie they go a little further and like include Black Swan in it. But like,
they really dug deep for like stuff that's not relevant whatsoever.
Yeah.
But like Black Swan.
But like, I was a little confused because like, I first heard about a haunted house first.
Yeah.
And then I found out a scary movie doing the same thing. It's like, okay, that's kind of dumb. You know, it's like we have two movies pretty much trying to do the same thing from different companies.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but I just thought that was really lame. Like, ugh.
I'm sorry.
Cool.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to change the movie. So,
sorry. I was going to say, it's like it's not enough that they're going to be releasing a crappy movie, a fairly crappy movie, that they're going to release two fairly crappy movies.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing, like, yeah, whatever.
No, I keep seeing the trailer for movie 43, and I think it looks pretty
43,
damn funny.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Like all the different skits.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
yeah, some of them might be really bad, but
yeah,
some of them look
the
really good.
That, that it was made by the same people who did or responsible for the Scary Movie franchise?
I'm not sure.
No? I mean, I don't know why I got that impression, but that's the impression I got. And I was thinking, like, I guess because they can't really do horror spoofs anymore, because there hasn't been that many horror movies coming out, that they just went and let's just do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my understanding of it, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. Hmm. Yeah, all these A-lister actors just saying some raunchy ass shit.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Should be pretty fun.
Agreed.
All right.
Anything else, guys?
Any parting words?
Nope.
All right. Well, next week we will be back for our best of 2012 episode. We're going to have Cody Johnson returning. So yeah, stay tuned for that next week. Also, stay tuned for After the Music. We are going to be doing a little small spoiler discussion on Django Unchained. You can reach us at thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
You saw like the...
What are you talking about?
You ever watch the SNL sketches where they do the, like, the little talk show radio things, like the suburban people?
Isn't it Smelly Balls or something?
Yeah.
They talk like this. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, today I went...
I'm putting on my radio voice, guys. this has been episode number 19. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Peace out.
It is.
His name was Cain. He had a brother, his only brother, a peaceful guy. One day they found him, his shirt was red, two shiny bullets. They found his brother dead. You can't see Cain.
Alrighty, welcome to our spoiler discussion of Django Unchained. Who wants to get it going here?
Okay, can someone explain to me?
What are we explaining?
Okay, so they started off saying they want to buy a fighter? They want to buy a fighter?
Yeah, they want to buy a Mandingo. Canada? Yeah.
They want to buy who?
A Mandingo, I believe they're called.
Mandingo?
Yeah.
Nigalese?
Yeah, which we didn't even get into that, which we should have gotten. The use of the heavy use of the N-word, which seems to be a big deal for some people. Did that bug you at all?
No,
I thought it fits
the time. Yeah, you're in the movie where that's all they see. Yeah, sure. The time period is where that's what they were called. Like, what do you want?
I completely agree. Yeah.
It had nothing to do with not being black. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we should get into social commentary, but like just the whole, you know, being offended. I'll just stop there. Anyways, I was going to talk about
you were going to get into a political discussion.
You were
going to
say something racially insensitive.
Yeah, you were.
No, I was insensitive. I swear, I just want to get a better understanding. But yeah, we'll just not talk about it.
Now you know.
All right. So, okay, so Candyland by a fighter.
Yeah,
go.
I thought it was a great ruse.
They wanted to buy a fighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and then they wanted to throw in the girl just as a side thing. He's gonna pretend he likes her and he wants the girl.
Yeah. So before Samuel Jackson's character told Leonardo DiCaprio's character that they're lying to him, they're not here for anything but the girl.
Yeah.
They right before that came about, they were talking about buying the girl too. So yeah, and the problem was
because
To Leo's character, she was completely expendable, so he was totally willing, you know, but like going in, they don't know if she's going to be like some vital, part of what he has going on there.
Well, that
if,
too, if, you know? Yeah, exactly. You can't just go in. Think about it. The characters just can't go in and go, you know what? We want to buy that girl. You know, he's going to be like, oh, really? Well, you know, why? You know, what's your interest? Or if you want her, you're going to have to spend this much.
I mean, he probably could have just said, hey, Jamie Foxx, just hang out in some other town. I'm just going to go and just buy her and bring her to you.
Yeah.
No, but then we wouldn't have had a good movie. Because it would have, again, like, I think that plan was there for a reason. Because it wouldn't have still worked. Because it would have still had Leonardo DiCaprio wondering, like, well, why? Why is just this? I think they did it because they wanted to get his attention, though. Leonardo DiCaprio's character's main thing was the Mandingo fighting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like, you know what? Let's, like remember, he did that whole speech. You want to go to the farm. You don't want to buy just, what is it, the eggs? Or what did he ask? You want to buy the whole farm. You know, that's what'll get the person intrigued. That was all just a ruse to get him intrigued, to get him into the house, to get them, you know,
to like bring them.
Yeah, bring them in, yeah. And you know, get them talking, and go, oh, mm-hmm. I see you've built some attraction to Broomhilda. Oh, it's like, oh, you know, we'll toss her to the side you with the purchase, you know. And that was what it was supposed to be about, mm-hmm. And it was a ruse. That's what it was. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still don't see why.
It's kind of like a con.
Over-dramatize it.
It wasn't over-dramatized. It was kind of like a con, the way a con man works.
Yeah.
You get tricked into something, you didn't realize it. Like, oh.
But, I mean, but they weren't really tricking them, because I mean, they were still willing to pay
they weren't this, going to pay
all
him.
This money, right?
I don't know. They weren't going to pay him. You notice how they were saying, we're going to come back the next day or in a couple of days with the money, with the lawyer, with the contract. I see. And then I think the thing was, oh, you know what? While you go over there, take her with you. She's yours. I think that was the plan. You didn't.
I thought they had every intention of paying.
No, I don't think they did. I mean, don't think he was going to give the $12,000.
I mean, that whole plot,
that's what I thought.
It just seems ridiculously circuitous. I think it's the word to say, where like you just have to go in this ridiculously long round circle just for something so simple.
It's convoluted, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That whole thing was sketchy, but yeah, like you said, if that wasn't there, we want to have reason to sit mm-hmm. here and talk about Django.
Yeah.
But okay, I guess that's sort of been clarified for me. Mm-hmm. Now I want to get into the whole library scene, where it's like everything was about to be done and set until Leo's like, okay, now we shake hands. Christoph Waltz. He's like, you know, he says like in German, we would say this because it means, you know, see you later. But because, sir, I don't like you, I'm gonna say goodbye. And it walks the other way, offends Leo. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you have to shake my hand. You can't leave like that. You have to shake my hand.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
That was awesome, but like that was one of the main problems I had with the movie. I think the turn that Christoph Waltz's character takes in that was a little far fetched, and the motivation was stupid. Like, okay, they finally got what you wanted. Put your pride aside that you don't like this guy, you don't agree with what he's doing, and shake his fucking hand, because the reason you're there is to get the fucking girl. Just do it and walk away. And then, like, the motivation for him doing that is him having these, like, flashbacks from when this guy gets torn apart by a dog. Yeah. And that's it. That's well, like, I that was it.
No, but I think because he was always a compassionate character. You know, he always cared. Like, yeah. Even if you don't, and that's what I got out of him. He cared about Django. He cared about these slaves. He was always against it. You know, he never, cruelty that, you know, and I think in the end, yes, no matter how hard it is for you to swallow, Leonardo DiCaprio did get the best of him. He did. Yeah. No matter how you put it, he got the best of him. He even says, he turns around and goes, you know what? I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. And then he gets blown to bits, you know? It's the perfect way to explain why he did it. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. There was no other reasoning behind that. He got the best of him. Sorry.
I don't know. Just to me, that character turn was poorly written.
And, but it was a very powerful scene nonetheless. Like, it was really...
Well, yeah, I thought it was great.
It just caused all this thing that is unnecessary. Just like you say, it's completely unnecessary for this... It's for the movie to be so convoluted for them to even get the girl.
Yeah, but then you can't have a great Western shootout.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna say just because a later scene ends up being good, I'm not gonna just say okay, it's okay that you made this poor writing choice.
I don't think it was a poor writing choice. It was a character
to me, it was a flip of his character.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think he wasn't the main. You got to remember, he wasn't the main character. It's not his movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, but he was doing
so much. Yeah,
like they were there for that, and then they got it, and he just like what pride is the reason for it.
Well, whatever it was, like because
it's getting the best of you.
And like and to me, yeah, maybe his character is somewhat compassionate, but I never got the sense that he was deeply against slavery. I mean, yeah, in the beginning he mentions this one line saying, yeah, I don't approve of slavery, but I'm going to use it to my advantage right now, pretty much. But outside of that, I never felt like he despised slavery.
I think maybe it was maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was when how Leonardo DiCaprio can just call these dogs to tear this poor person that he apart for like no reason at all. Like, well, I mean,
there's a reason. He fucking paid $5. He won 5 fights.
No, it's exactly. As simple as that. Look at how angry he is. Yeah, but I mean,
this guy needs a fight.
But like, I mean,
he only fought 3 times.
But I guess the way he really saw how people treat their slave is really making you angry.
Oh no, no, no! I'm just fooling around. I'm just fooling around
right here.
No, like, I don't know, but
ultimately it wasn't even his decision. Like, it was Jamie Foxx who's got the fucking guy torn apart.
Exactly, but it doesn't matter. It's just the act.
He ran away. Watching the act. He ran away. Something has to happen.
But,
then.
But I think the flashbacks of him seeing it is just explanation enough. It's the act. Seeing that happen.
But just those flashbacks coming up. I mean, I know in the moment he didn't like what was happening, but to have like. That he was dramatized, traumatized by it.
Maybe it was traumatizing to him. Who don't know that?
I thought I felt that was a stretch for his character.
No, I know it's hard because like a lot of people like you get so attached to the character. Or, you don't like in the end, like you got to let it go because you didn't write this character. You wish this character can go a different way, but it's not. It's not your character.
Well, that's what made the scene more really intense. Because you knew something dirty was gonna go down, and for me, because I was invested in both characters and I enjoyed both Leo and Christopher, I was like, oh shit, I like both these characters, but one of them's gonna go down right now. And I was sad when both of them went down. Like, oh, but you know, it had to happen. You know what's gonna happen. But that's what made it really intense and empowering for me. Like, oh. Holy shit. Yeah, that's why, you know.
I mean, still an intense scene followed by an even more intense scene. I just don't like how he got there. It's just, I didn't like it.
Well, I really enjoyed it because, like, you know, it was a thrill. You know, that's why you go to movies, to have these emotions.
That's fine, but it still has to be developed well.
But, you know, it was a little...
we still got there, though.
No, that's nuts.
Well, going back to the whole,
hey, we got there. Since there's a good scene, let me just forget about this bad scene.
But going back to the whole, you talking about how, in the beginning of the film, he just said he didn't think slavery was okay.
Yeah.
How did you get... He was affected by it, though. Like, I think that dog being torn, the dog tearing him apart really fucked him up about it.
I mean, obviously, and then when he's having fucking flashbacks.
When he brings
up to me, it came from out of nowhere.
No, but when he brings up the Three Musketeers and he talks about it, you know, like, what would you think the person who wrote the Three Musketeers think of what you did to that poor man when the dogs tore him apart? Yeah. Like, you know, whatever, you know, would he find that, you know, I don't know, would he find that, what would he think of you or something? I don't remember what he exactly said. And I remember when at the end he said, well, that writer was black. Like, you know, and exactly. So in the end, and that was a sort of way of you, like, if you, like, you know, and it does, it did affect him, the slavery thing. He did care about what happened to these people. And it got the best of him. In the end, that's what I took of it. It got the best of him, and he became a weak person and did a really stupid thing.
I mean, yeah.
He turned around and said, I'm sorry.
It's just a matter of, you know, if you find the motivations or not. I felt there wasn't enough there. You did.
And
I thought that's the time I brought it up.
It was an emotional payoff.
I just love what happened. I just love that, the duel.
I mean, Leo, he was, to me, he wasn't that bad of a guy. He's an all right guy. to be honest, in a way, he seemed, I understand they're slaves and he treats them like shit, but he seemed like compassionate in a way too towards them. I don't know.
No, I really did enjoy his character. He wasn't,
evil. That's what I'm saying, he wasn't like this menacing guy.
He just went crazy because, you know, he didn't appreciate that, you know,
that they're fucking with him.
They're fucking with him, and he's been really kind to him. You know, showing them out of hospitality.
I mean,
also when he fucking took out the skull.
That's what I was going to bring up.
He was explaining.
How could you not think he's evil? Like, I think he's compassionate when he talks about how he thinks black people will never.
Well, have you looked inside a black person's skull?
Have these two little indentations where like parts of the brain that makes him more submissive. You know, that's why they can't rise up. How could he think he's compassionate when all he thinks is, you know, this.
No, that was a horrible scene. I mean, no, it was a great scene. It was
like horrible,
what he was insinuating.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's
implying or whatever.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. I mean, I don't know.
And that was also, I mean, you know, Leo fucking totally owned that scene. Like I loved how he ambushed them, had them put their hands on thing, and he was really fucking like threatening. You can feel like, man, if you made one move, you'd be fucking dead. Like, he took the fucking hammer, just like threatening to fucking bash this girl's head, and then when the deal is done, he just fucking throws it on the table, and like that was awesome. His
hand. Yeah, and he was all like, okay, let's sign up the contract.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, just for that, I hope he gets recognition, nomination.
Fuck that shit. He's going to be fucking nominated for that bullshit.
Robert, is he nominated?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Golden Globes, maybe.
I don't know. Academies have it. Dog shit.
Well, I mean, all these award shows are sort of.
Oh, no. Golden Globes is the worst. I hate the Golden Globes.
I think the Academies is worse.
Well, yeah. They've declined.
Their best picture, they're just. No, they're just not doing it.
But no, I mean, like, if I had to pick a favorite, it would definitely be Leo.
And how come nobody's. Like, talking about Samuel Jackson.
We sort of talked about
okay.
him.
We didn't talk about him at all. I mean, I didn't want to talk about him because I felt a lot of it was spoiler.
Good.
You guys didn't like Samuel Jackson a lot?
I love that Samuel Jackson.
You're supposed to... I mean, I don't think he was as conniving as you guys think he was. Because when Leonardo DiCaprio's character dies, he becomes a total wimp and the way he just starts crying and stuff. And,
yeah, but still, he's the one who's, like, adamant on, like... uncovering like what the fuck's going on here. Yeah. So like, to me, he was like the main antagonist of the film. That's what he becomes.
Well, because I think he was a kiss ass. I don't think he was a manipulator. I think he was just a big kiss ass. That's why he was the way he was. He was like
even though ultimately it did seem like Leonardo the character was controlling him, I felt like he wasn't. Like I felt like he was too gullible when it came to Samuel Jackson's character, and he would ultimately get his way. Like, Samuel Jackson would get his way with him, like, whenever he wanted to.
Maybe.
You know?
Or maybe Leo just...
Well, you know, I mean, he did hide it well. I mean, he pretended to have that limp when he...
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, he definitely was a wimp because, like, when... he knew he was going to fucking get shot up or something at the end. It's like he just threw his cane, started walking straight. It's like, okay, well, like, let me face this like a man.
I didn't see it that way. Well, and then when he got shot, he started screaming and crying like a whoop again.
Were you fucking shooting him?
No, I would have taken it like if he was as conniving and manipulative as you guys thought he was, he should have just sat there and gone, well, fuck it, I'm gonna die. Well, fuck you, Django.
Well, no, he said,
Django, damn you!
No, I mean, he was still cowardly, but
fuck you, Django.
I don't know.
Fuck you. That was awesome. What's up, man? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, no, he was cowardly in that moment, but I did feel like,
that was awesome.
Which was something I liked about the movie, how, like, it's this black guy who's the worst towards the other black guy, you know?
I did like that scene, though, where he goes into, the barn where he's hanging upside down. And he goes like, I was just waiting for somebody to trade you to these people because it's worse than death. It's worse than anything. But, you know, like, I just love that because, you know, he couldn't say it. So he was waiting for somebody to have the idea. I don't know. I like that scene. And the way, because that does show how he hides in the background. And
So what was the whole point when Quentin Tarantino made his cameo? Like, what
I think that was just about? Pointless.
What was that about?
I don't know. Some Australian dudes. I don't know.
I don't know.
Australian?
Yeah, so that's what his accent was. Oh. Well, that's what he was going for.
I guess story-wise, it was, I don't know, supposed to be like how this time Django's on his own and he has to go back and there's no one there to help him. I don't know. But
yeah, it was just ridiculous. I mean, to me,
that section was playing more, even more into the whole empowerment stuff because, you know, he's on his own and he eventually, you know, gets the best of these guys. He tricks them. And he does it in front of a group of slaves.
Well, we're definitely missing two, you know, key scenes, or at least really entertaining scenes. The opening scene where you get Christoph Waltz's character, you know, trying to make a transaction, trying to buy, or not buy, but just get, well, whatever, just trying to get Jamie's character. Yeah. And two guys want to give him up. That was pretty entertaining, right? You remember that, guys?
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
He shoots the horse. The horse lands, and the guy breaks his leg. And
yeah, no, and I just love how smooth Christoph
was. Yeah, he's like, I'm just here to make a transaction.
Yeah,
he's
such a fucking class. And he's so like,
I'm taking you. Don't have a what was it? But what are they called? Receipts back in the day?
That's okay. I can't prepare.
So. Yeah, it's okay. I have one. Yeah,
that was awesome. And then we had the huge raid scene where you have all these guys in, like, I guess early Kuka Klux. Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, the comic.
Oh, I mean, it was a hilarious little side scene, yeah.
The comic relief scene, that's what I called it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it was kind of annoying at the same time.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny. It was funny and annoying.
I didn't think what's his name needed to even be there.
Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Well, I think he was casted to be in a bigger role in the movie, but he couldn't do it, and so, like, he had enough time just to do one scene, and, like, Quentin Tarantino really wanted him back to do that one scene, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, it was silly, whatever, but I don't know. I just wanted to point that out. You know, it features your tooth that you love so much. You know, it was an important thing because they had a dynamite.
It blows up the tooth wagon.
Fucking tooth. Yeah, that was the whole purpose of that tooth being there. Was for the
pussy wagon,
saying.
Now we have the tooth wagon.
Tooth wagon. Awesome. Yeah. All right, anything else, guys?
No.
I mean, even with, like, the whole Samuel Jackson thing, I just want to point out some social commentary that I felt like Quentin Tarantino was trying to go with.
All right, shoot.
Just how, you know, like, how in the movie Samuel Jackson, a black guy ends up being another black guy's, like, worst enemy, you know? And that seems to be...
Yeah, I thought...
That seems to emulate real life because, especially, you know, we live in Chicago. It's a violent city. And there's a lot of black-on-black crime. And I think he's trying to touch on that with the movie.
I didn't see that way.
And especially with, like, the music choices, I think that's what he was going for, too.
Oh, yeah. That. I see that. That's a good...
Even though I hated it.
It's a good perspective.
Hated the music.
Yeah.
Just something I thought was cool that I thought he was going for. It may or not be true, but yeah.
But well, no, that's there. A good... No, you're right. No, because in the end, it's still, like, it's these two black guys who are against each other in the end. It's not, like, white and black, you know? So I can see what you're talking
nigga.
About.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I
can see
that way. Anything else?
No.
All right, that's it. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Adios.
Django.
Django.